Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Our interview today is sponsored by a hidden gem in Starkville, Mississippi, Alora Modern Wellness. Founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez, Alora offers cutting-edge therapies like whole-body cryotherapy, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching, all designed to relieve pain, reduce stress, and boost recovery. Whether you're an athlete, a busy professional, or simply seeking balance, Alora provides personalized care in a serene setting. Located at 821 C Highway 12 across from Kroger, it's your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at aloramodernwellness.com. I said it on Thursday, Thunder and Lightning. I said if Mississippi State defeated Oklahoma, we would have an interview on this show to preview the Kentucky game. We are slowly walking, backing away from some of the predictions we made a little earlier in the season. So take it slow. Cameron Drummond joins us live from the Detroit airport from the Lexington Herald Leader, where last night you were in Columbia, I assume. Am I correct?
Or Lexington.
Oh, the game was in Lexington they lost?
Yeah.
All right, let's just start right there. I cannot imagine that.
It makes it so much worse, yeah.
Yes. I cannot imagine when this season began that you would have looked at this game against Mississippi State and said that's a must-win game for the Kentucky Wildcats, but they are 0-2. They're 9-6 overall. This is a team that, I mean, I know you can't get the real numbers, but we know they spent millions in the portal this offseason. Where has this gone wrong to this point?
I mean, count the number of ways at this point. And us at the Lexington Herald Leader, my colleague Ben Roberts, was the first to report the kind of mythical $22 million payroll number for this Kentucky basketball team this season. And really, a lot of the issues that we've seen crop up for Kentucky, especially in its high major games this season. Kentucky's 2-6 against quality opponents, with the only victories being at home against Indiana, a team that may not even be, you'll prove to be a quad one win down the road. And on a neutral court against St. John's, where you got the boost of Jaden Quaintance's debut, and St. John's has struggled in its own right. So the struggles in quality games against top opponents can really be boiled down to roster construction issues. I mentioned that $22 million number off the top. A lot of people are now second-guessing Mark Pope's talent evaluation from the portal this past season, specifically when it comes to shifting his preferred style of play. I mean, everything you heard about from Mark Pope's first Kentucky team, his previous four or five teams at BYU, centered around pace, space, three-point shooting, dynamic offensive play. Kentucky shifted that approach this past offseason. They went for a more physical, defense-first, rebounding approach. I mean, I even remember in the late summertime when Mark Pope was pretty candid with the media and said he completely flipped the installation of things for this UK program, went with a defense first, followed by the offense, which ran counter to what he did a lot of previously in his coaching tenure across a couple different schools. And it just has not worked, full stop. I mean, you're looking at really embarrassing defeats to your arch rival Louisville, neutral courts against Michigan State. You lose that game against Gonzaga in what was a 99% pro UK arena in Nashville. Your top transfers have not performed. Even some of your freshmen, Jasper Johnson, was a do not play coach's decision, and he was the highest ranked recruit from this past freshman high school class. So really, anywhere you slice it, it's been an absolute disaster of a season so far for Kentucky. You mentioned the fact that Mississippi State might be viewed as a must-win game now for the Cavs to get back on track, because this team is firmly on the NCAA tournament bubble. You know, you're looking at losing at Missouri for the first time at home. They were largely non-competitive in their SEC opener at Alabama. It's pretty dire times here in Lexington right now. And as you can imagine, the fan base, the boosters behind the scenes are kind of reacting accordingly.
And then that's the macro view. Let's do a little more micro, just looking at this game last night. I mean, I think if you tell me ahead of time Kentucky's going to shoot 43% from the field, 39 from three, they're going to out-rebound Missouri. Turnovers aren't a huge issue, only 13. How did they lose this game?
I mean, it really came down to Kentucky frittering away this opportunity in late game execution. And, you know, I mentioned earlier, one of the things that Mark Pope has tried so hard this season to instill in this Kentucky team is a sense of pace, specifically in the half court offense and also in transition, which is where a lot of his teams have thrived. And a lot of people thought this UK team would have a lot of success. You know, you look at fast break points, 24-7, they had the advantage over Missouri. You listed off some of the other stats. Missouri beat them inside 40-28 in points in the paint. The whole physicality interior big man play has been a bit of an Achilles heel for Kentucky this season, aside from the second half that Jaden Quaintance had against St. John's when he made his debut. And then the final about four or so minutes of the game last night, Missouri outscores them 15-2. They score the final 8 points of the game. Kentucky's final 8 or 9 offensive possessions were a trio of missed three-pointers, a trio of turnovers, kind of inexplicable turnovers, too, in terms of not executing basic concepts, you know, missing, you know, poorly taken shots. Even the final play of the game, really, when they were down 3, Kentucky shifted away from what Mark Pope told them to do in the huddle, which resulted in Jalen Lowe taking an off-balance 3 that didn't have a prayer of going in. You know, this Kentucky team has had some okay second-half performances, especially of late, to get those Indiana and St. John's wins. But when the chips were on the table last night, Missouri just hung in there long enough, scored their first ever win at Rupp Arena, and the pressure continues to mount, not only on Pope himself, but on this collection of individuals on the team. Because, again, with that $22 million price tag, I'm sure a lot of people in Big Blue Nation were expecting more consistent results, harder effort, better execution. I mean, even Otega Owe, the SEC preseason player of the year, goes for 20 points, but he's had some inconsistent leadership this year. Nobody else joined him in double figures last night. Really just a confluence of all the things that have gone wrong for Kentucky this season showed up in the final 4 or 5 minutes to cost them that game at home against Missouri.
So what's been good for Kentucky this year? What has worked for the Wildcats?
That list is not very long.
Feels like it's short, yeah.
Because, again, you think about a team that has prided itself and a coach that has prided himself on offensive pace, spacing, three-point shooting in particular. That's perhaps been the biggest disappointment for UK this season. You know, they're shooting, 33.3% from three-point range entering Saturday night's game. That's around 200th in the country. They're not taking a lot of three-pointers either. I will say the defense has made some strides over the course of this year. Missouri was a bit of a regression in that standpoint, only because that was their second worst offensive effort of the year. So the offense and defense is still trying to figure a way to balance itself out, because the defense, I mean, you hold Missouri to 73 points at home, you should be expecting to win that game.
Yes.
You know, you even look at some of the underlying statistics. I know KenPom really overvalues some of those preseason metrics, but they're 25th in the country in defense. You know, that's certainly a big improvement from what we saw from Kentucky earlier this season and last year, when really the Achilles heel of Mark Pope's first UK squad was on the defensive end. But the offense simply hasn't caught up to that. It feels like you're almost watching a different sport compared to last year's Kentucky basketball team. You know, Mark Pope has repeatedly talked about how he feels like they're stuck in molasses when they run their half court offense, everything from setting ball screens to crashing the glass to, you know, it's the simple act of driving to the paint, kicking it out and moving the ball around. The ball has been so sticky for them. So I will say defense, especially of late, has maybe been something they've been able to hang their hat on. The Indiana, St. John's, Missouri games were all good showings on that end. But then again, if the offense is going to, you know, not take a whole lot of threes, not make a whole lot of them, and then crumble down the stretch like they did against the Tigers, it's really kind of a rock and a hard place to win games in what is still a super competitive SEC, even if it is maybe a notch or two below what the league was last year.
So State's two wins are kind of Jekyll and Hyde, right? They win 101-98 in overtime against Texas. They can't stop scoring. They play really good defense against Oklahoma and only give up 59 points in that one. So I'm not really sure what Mississippi State team you're going to see at Rupp Arena on Saturday. Which team would they rather see? The team that can get up and down the court and put 100 points on the board, or the team that's going to, you know, play good defense and maybe keep the game in the 70s?
I mean, from all indications, Mark Pope has kind of shifted to more of a grinded-out philosophy with this Kentucky basketball team, and that's been a slow evolution, especially after they struggled so mightily in non-conference play in November and early December. So I don't think Kentucky necessarily wants to get involved in a high-scoring 90 to 100-point game, even if that is what maybe a lot of people might consider a Mark Pope UK-type team preferring, only because it seems like this year they don't have the personnel to play that way. They're not playing fast enough in the half court. They don't seem to be mitigating, you know, whatever defensive strides you're able to make with offensive production. So I think Kentucky would like the game to be slower, more deliberate. Again, that's kind of how they played against Missouri, and we saw what happened in the closing minutes of that one. You know, it feels like a safe bet that Josh Hubbard is going to put up 25, 30 shots, regardless of kind of what style of play the game might be. And I'm excited to watch him again for yet another year in this kind of budding Mississippi State-Kentucky rivalry. But there's also plenty of players, you know, just having watched Mississippi State a bit this year and hearing about them anecdotally, that I think could pose a lot of problems for Kentucky, especially given the fact that, you know, this is a Rupp Arena crowd that, you know, they're never going to outright boo Kentucky and Lexington during the course of a game. But this could get really awkward really quick if Kentucky gets off to another slow start. They've trailed at halftime in seven of their eight high major games this season. So things are kind of on a bit of a knife edge in Lexington. And if Mississippi State's able to maybe get some early points from Hubbard or some of their other contributors and quiet that crowd, really help them settle into the game. I thought that really helped Missouri last night. And the kind of blueprint template for that has been out on Kentucky over the course of this year for Chris Jans and the Bulldogs to follow.
So this game a season ago was a really good one here in Starkville. 95-90, the Wildcats win. And, you know, you have Jackson Robinson, who's a career 9-point-per-game scorer, go off for 27 in that game, and that was the difference. If some random guy for Kentucky, we call it the RAT here, the RAT, the random, you can guess what the A stands for, theory. If that's going to happen again to Mississippi State, who could it be for Kentucky?
I mean, there's a long list of candidates because, again, Ortega Owe has really been the only consistent scorer, you know, senior leader, guy who came in with a lot of accolades. And even though he's had an up and down year, he's been maybe the most consistent of the Kentucky players, which maybe isn't saying much. Jalen Lowe had a really poor shooting night after being inserted into the starting lineup against Missouri. You know, some really questionable shot making tactics down the stretch as well as Kentucky frittered away that lead. Colin Chandler, I believe, still leads Kentucky in made three-pointers despite having a real downturn as the season has gone along, and he just got replaced in the starting lineup. You got Mo Diabate, who's really been a bit of a Jekyll and a Hyde presence inside for Kentucky as well. I think a lot of Kentucky fans will be pointing to Denzel Aberdeen, though, as a guy who they really need to show up. He got big money this past offseason from the portal, former reserve at Florida on that national title team last year. And just he really hasn't been too much of a consistent presence on either end for Kentucky. 1 of 7 from the field against Alabama, 3 of 7 from the field last night. He's kind of shifted into a bit of a makeshift point guard role at times, even though that's not his preferred spot. But I think he's a guy who, look, if he's going to make good on his potential, you know, all the hype that surrounded him as an incoming national champion caliber transfer, this would be a good time as any to kind of kickstart his season. And then you keep going down the list. I mentioned Cam Williams, I think, earlier, who was their biggest acquisition from a three-point shooting perspective in the portal last year from Tulane. And he has just not gotten going at all. He's averaging less than 20 minutes per game. Pope seems to have a pretty quick hook on him. He's still only shooting 34% from three-point range, which is far below what was expected after he shot 41% at Tulane last year. His length defensive ability has been praised and, you know, really kind of pointed to by the fan base as someone who needs to get more run. Pope seems to be willing to give that to him now that things haven't gone too well. So maybe another Cam Williams breakout after he hit 8 three-pointers against Bellarmine to close December. But there really are a list of 3-4 guys who have underperformed for UK this season who would be a candidate for the RAT theory, shall we say?
Yes. Mississippi State has not won at Rupp since 2009, if I'm looking at the stats correctly here. If this goes the wrong way for Kentucky and they're 0-3, what's going to happen? Is something going to happen?
I think from all indications, from what we're hearing, I think Mark Pope is A, completely safe for the rest of this season, and B, completely safe for next season. I would be absolutely stunned if Kentucky made the decision to move on from him after only 2 years. Yes, I know there's a lot of fan angst. Yes, I know this is below the standard of UK basketball. I don't really see Mitch Barnhart making a move, who's the long-term athletic director here. He's obviously the guy who hired Pope a few years ago after Calipari went to Arkansas. That being said, within the micro of the arc of this season, getting off to an 0-3 start in SEC play, 9-7 overall, Kentucky has already basically shifted from maybe an 8-9 seed territory to firmly on the bubble with losing at home to Missouri, which is currently a quad 3 loss. Losing at home to Mississippi State would not help that. But I think you could, if anyone can recall the second Oscar Tshiebwe season, the 22-23 season, you were going into mid-February with the legitimate question of, is Kentucky going to make the NCAA tournament? Because of a similar pattern like this, they had lost some early SEC games, lost a lot of their major high-profile non-conference games. Even the wins in non-conference play that season didn't turn out to age particularly well. I think you're on that trajectory already. And if you lose Mississippi State at home, that only kind of furthers you down that path. I mean, the consensus is this team is way too talented to miss the NCAA tournament. And it's insane that you even have to have this discussion about a Kentucky team with this payroll on January 8th. But if you look at the resume and you take all the preseason metrics and expectations aside, this is not an NCAA tournament team currently, and especially not if they lose at home to the Bulldogs.
I feel like we've had this entire conversation and they're just going to win by like 25 on Saturday. we'll see what happens.
Well, we were thinking about that with Missouri, because the thing with Missouri too is, for all the decent teams that have come out of Columbia since they moved through the SEC, they've always come to Rupp Arena and largely gotten handled by large margins. And you maybe even thought that was going to happen last night when Kentucky got out to an 8-point lead kind of midway through the second half and stabilized things. But this UK team just doesn't seem to play with any consistency, rhythm, consistent tempo, as Mark Pope harped on post game. And you have to wonder if maybe the weight of that may not come crashing down on them against Mississippi State. So, very fascinating game on Saturday night. And I think two teams who are at least off to conference play in very different directions than people expected, especially given how non-conference play went for the Bulldogs, with the likes of losses to K-State, New Mexico, San Francisco, things that wouldn't have exactly portended a 2-0 start in league play.
No doubt about it. Cameron, safe travels to you, my friend, and we'll see you again soon. Cameron Drummond from the Lexington Herald Leader. Thanks so much.
Of course, appreciate it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.